We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
I think the role of any brick and mortar location is not just to offer the product, but make it so that there's a reason to walk in beyond just the product. And I think Sephora has done a really good job of that over time. And I'm proud to say that. I mean, our cast members slash what we call them now beauty advisors are the lifeblood of what goes on in a store because they're the face of the retailer and they're who the clients see every day. So I think that's really key.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. Today's guest is at the helm of some of the most exciting innovations for the beauty industry. We're talking to Allison Hahn. She's the Senior Vice President of Merchandising for Color and Fragrance at Sephora, where she heads up the curation of Sephora's highly differentiated makeup products and brand assortment. We'll talk to her about some of the cutting-edge initiatives Sephora is leading and where the beauty industry is headed. For today's episode, I'm joined by Jen Overstreet, my friend, my colleague, and my co-host. Hello, Jen.
Hi, Bill.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm really excited to talk to Allison today.
I am too. I went to Sephora today, and it's I don't go to beauty stores normally, and I have some observations.
Oh, I can't wait to hear them.
And I can't wait to talk to you about it. Welcome to Retail Gets Real, Allison.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad that you're here. So tell us first about your role at Sephora and a little bit about where you came from before you got there.
Okay. Well, I've been in retail for about 35 years. I started in the mid-80s when retail was very different. I started in Macy's at the training program. Then I went to Saks Fifth Avenue. Then I moved to San Francisco and worked for Gap Inc. in both Banana Republic and Gap. Then I went to two different home retailers, Cost Plus World Market and Restoration Hardware. And for the last 9 years, I've been at Sephora running all of the makeup assortment, as you mentioned.
Wait. So you did all of that and you've been at Sephora for 9 years?
Mm-hmm. I'm old.
No, you're not. That's just, when did you start? Like when you were 10?
No. I did each stint for 7 years. So I was at Macy's for 7, Saks for 7, Gap Banana for 7. And then Resto and Cost Plus were like 2 years each.
That's
I'm 56,
great,
so well, yeah. You know, do the math.
I'm really impressed with the variety of the background.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you were talking to students earlier, and I think that people think, and you do in college, you're like, this is going to be my track.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into it, and these other options and opportunities mm-hmm. come along, and it's very obvious that you don't really have a fear of taking risk mm-hmm. and doing something new and different.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about Sephora.
Well, Sephora has been such an amazing journey over the last 9 years because the beauty industry has been so disruptive as it normally is, but the last 9 years have even been more so. There are so many new trends that have emerged in the last 9 years. And I would say one of the biggest things that has really changed the beauty industry, in my opinion, for the better, is social media.
Mm-hmm.
Because it basically took an industry and a product category that is so intimidating to so many. You know, how do I put an eyeliner on? What's the right skincare for me? How do I make my hair do a beachy wave or a beachy curl? And the influx and wave of influencers that started about, you know, 6 or 7 years ago really helped demystify the category for so many people. And I think it really helped with what's been a beauty boom for quite a long time. And I think it's incredible.
You know, I know you were just talking about, you know, the variety.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the things when I was in the store. I'm like, how the heck do you, where do you go? Where do you start? I mean, there's just so much there. You've got all the different varieties, just a lot of product.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you get people to where they need to go?
Hmm. Well, part of that is definitely our journey as the retailer is to help and with the help of our cast members that work in our store who are wildly well-educated and they're there to help any client. We like to think of them as our unbiased influencer, as well as in this day and age, so many people are being informed by what they see on their phone. And especially with a younger generation, they pretty much do a lot of research before they even come in. They've right. heard about it on YouTube or on Instagram or TikTok. So they're already, they've already done some homework. But it can be, for many people, absolutely an overwhelming environment. It's kind of the gift of Sephora that there's so much energy, but also that can work against us depending on, you know, what you're in the mood for. I mean, if you are, have a headache and you're tired, you've had a long day, maybe Sephora isn't the place you should go. But on the other hand, maybe it is because it's fun and it's fabulous and you can play and you can touch and you can be free.
I like the soundtrack, by the way. I was thinking that you need a Spotify channel. That was a really, it was just very upbeat. And
of what was playing in your, which one did you go into?
Right here, Times Square.
God, oh God, and that's it. An insane That's store.
It was. There were tons of, but you know, the other thing that really impressed me about that store, I need to mention this, was I was asked no less than five times, and I was there probably for just 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Have you found what you're looking for? Or mm-hmm. is there something I can do to help? Mm-hmm. It was really, really impressive. Given the number of people that were in that mm-hmm. store at the time, that
well,
would
they
be,
saw you and knew that you needed help.
I know, absolutely. If they saw me, they would look at that old guy. Why is he trolling in here? Even though I do have to tell you a story, I when I was in college, I did a television program called The Lawmakers, and it was a nightly wrap-up of the day's activities in the state legislature. And they had at the studio this makeup that they said, here, use this. And it caused me, I got a rash, I broke out, it was bad. And they said, well, we're not going to buy you anything, you're just going to have to buy it yourself. So I went to the mall, and I went to a Macy's, and they went to the counter. I said, I need to buy makeup for myself. Mm-hmm. She's like, what? I said, I need to buy makeup for myself. And she's like, oh, he needs makeup, girl. And so I said, is there somewhere else that we can do this testing? They're like, this foundation. But anyway, ended up with Clinique and it was great. So, but it was obvious to me that when you look at Sephora and where things have evolved to this mm-hmm. day, that's not an issue mm-hmm. ever. Do you, I mean, when you think about that, I mean, men and men's products, is that becoming more and more popular?
Men's products are becoming more popular. I mean, for sure there is a rage going on in men's grooming, and men care about their skin as well. So we are definitely seeing definitely trends regarding men's grooming products. I think always at Sephora, one of the things we have to be mindful of, and it's a hard job, and it's one of the key jobs of a merchant, is you only have X room in a store. We have X amount of square feet, and we need to make sure that we're addressing the needs of most of the clients who are walking into the store. So we do sell some men's products online. We used to sell men's skincare in store. We decided several years ago to pull that back to online because we want to make sure that the stores are as productive as possible.
Sure, sure.
But yes, there is an absolute uptick in men's product.
All right, I'll shut up, Jen. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, you know, you talked about men's grooming. You talked a little bit about, you know, the education aspect and wellness being a growing trend. What other kinds of, I was hoping that you could talk a little bit about the kinds of trends you're seeing, how you're responding to kind of customer demands in this area. Like, it is confusing to match your foundation. I have no idea what color foundation I should be wearing. And then you guys did this Color IQ thing. You've started this Clean Beauty initiative. Could you talk a little bit about the most important initiatives that you've been doing in response to some of the customer demand in the past few years, I've mm-hmm. noticed?
Well, I think one of the things that's most important for Sephora and honestly for any retailer is that there's so much choice out there. You want to make sure that whatever you're offering outside of the product choices, that there's a reason why someone would want to walk into your store. Because the reality is that in this day and age, no one has to walk into any store because you can buy everything online. So I think it's really important that you offer unique services, whether it's our cast members at our beauty studios, our paid services, the fragrance finder that is also in the store if you're overwhelmed by the fragrance choice. But I think the role of any brick and mortar location is not just to offer the product, but make it so that there's a reason to walk in beyond just the product. And I think Sephora has done a really good job of that over time. And I'm proud to say that. I mean, our cast members / what we call them now beauty advisors are the lifeblood of what goes on in a store because they're the face of the retailer and they're who the clients see every day. So I think that's really key. From a trend spotting perspective, spotting trends isn't necessarily the hardest thing to do when you're a merchant. I think it's choosing the ones that feel most right for your client. Because the last thing any retailer should do, or in my opinion, any merchant should do, is try and do everything. Because a client doesn't want everything. She might not know, or he might know, or they might not know what they want, but they don't want everything. And you have to be the voice of the client to understand what you think is the trend that will resonate most with your client so you can sell the most product ultimately. So the spotting of the trends is one thing. The choosing of these trends is where you really need to know your client well.
I think one of the difficulties, or one of the things that you would need to overcome, and you obviously have because you've got a very robust online business, but is that makeup is so personal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody's different, I think.
Yes, it's true.
And it's one of those things where you could go online, you could look at it, but unless you do the testing of it, it makes it difficult to buy. And so how do you overcome that hurdle?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of replenishment that can be done online, but I think from a discovery perspective and a newness perspective, I do think there's an inclination to want to go touch and feel because of the shades and the textures, the amount of pigment. Is it sheer? Is it full pigment? When you put on a lipstick, it can be matte. It could be glossy. But we also have technology that we launched many years ago on our app. I mentioned earlier to the students, we have a Sephora virtual try-on. So if you download the Sephora app, you can literally try on every lipstick shade on your face from every brand. You can take a picture of yourself and send it to your friends. You don't have to buy anything, and you can ask your friends or your husband or your dog or whomever, what shade looks best on me? What do you think? Because it can be intimidating, and then you can go buy it. So not even, helping people who are either aren't near a Sephora, would prefer to not go into a Sephora. We try and offer tools like that. There's a lot out there now technologically that can allow you to experience things without touching and feeling. But there's nothing like going into a store for many things. You can try on different brow products, different brow shapes. I mean, it's cuckoo.
I think the crazy thing is I'm asking all the questions and we're talking about cosmetics.
You're asking good questions.
I went to listen to you and then I was like, I need to go to the store. And since it was right here, I just ran down there. And it really created a lot of questions in my mind. For example, in the back, they had this whole section where they had people that were applying makeup? What is that section and how do you get in on that?
In the back. Do you mean like at the beauty studio?
There
like
you
people
go.
Were sitting
it's
down?
Beauty studio.
It's called the beauty studio.
All the mirrors, all the...
Yes.
Tell me, I mean, is that where you go to... Well, tell me what that
you
is.
You can do a lot of things at the beauty studio. You can sit and have a full 60-minute custom makeover. You could do a 30-minute kind of... 30-minute, and then you can do like a little, what we call like a mini makeover that's 15 minutes. You want to try an eyeshadow palette and you need help, someone helping you, how do I put these colors on? Oh, let me show you, or let me show you what this color story can look on your left eye and this color story can look on your right eye. How do I apply it? Why am I using this blush? But anybody really can sit at the beauty studio and either try something on, but more importantly, learn something about it. Because it's hard to figure out how to use a 10-pan eyeshadow palette, or how do I use this liquid liner? How do I make a cat eye? Or it can just be, let me try this on. I don't know if I like this black eyeliner better than this black eyeliner. So you can put it on each eye. You could do that at the gondola at a mirror standing up, or you can sit at the beauty studio. We don't care.
Well, your beauty studio was pretty covered up, I must
say.
Was
it? It was packed?
There were several, there were a number of people there. The other thing that I found very interesting was there was a group of women that obviously came in together, all different ages, and they were standing at one of the displays, and they were all working with each other. And it was like, I thought, this is a nice bonding opportunity for this little family, just because you could tell there's grandma, mom, two kids and two smaller kids, and they were having a really good time.
Beauty's it's a happy business. I think I used to think of it as kind of frivolous. It's not, because it makes people feel better. Mm-hmm. And that is the best when I was working for The Gap. And for a time, I ran all of women's denim. And I thought to myself, gosh, if I could make women walk out of a Gap with a pair of denim jeans and they thought their ass looked great in them, that is a great thing to sure. provide confidence to somebody, or just that they feel better after they purchase something. I mean, that is such a joy. And anybody who's in retail selling anything, oh God, that granola tastes great and it's so good for me. I mean, that's a beautiful thing about when you're involved in selling products. Yeah.
You talked a little bit about your career. You were in apparel mm-hmm. and then home mm-hmm. and now beauty, and mm-hmm. you've kind of been enlightened by the beauty industry mm-hmm. a little bit. What's the most exciting part of your job now?
You know, it's people. It's people. I've done my job long enough that I know how to do my job. You know, I mean, it's hard and I'm challenged every day and I'm constantly faced with some new something. But I would say that the leadership, the ability to persuade, influence, teach, mentor, that's really, you know, get the noise out of the way for the rest of the organization so they can do their jobs more proficiently and efficiently. And to just, they're so smart, and to learn from them, it's so dynamic. That to me is the most rich part of my job. And also obviously selling lots of product.
Oh, for sure.
You know, that's my report card. My report card is did I sell X amount? So that drives me, and the people drive me for sure.
What trends have you seen kind of ticking up lately? I mean, everybody always talks about, you know, it's the millennials, the Gen Xers, they're driving these different trends. And I'm sure that they are. How are they driving it in the beauty industry?
Well, it's interesting because, gosh, if you look at like 15 years ago, 20 years ago, no, even 15, moms influenced their kids. Now, moms are being influenced by their kids. Mm. So the kids, because there's so much access to data and they're so, you know, they're always on their phone learning, reading, absorbing, faster than we ever did. They're more well-versed in so many things than the parents. So that the flip of the generational kind of who's influencing who is super interesting.
Yeah.
And because they're more and more influencing purchase decisions for the entire household. So if we talk about Gen Zs, for instance, they are very value-based. And so they really do not, in general, I'm making generalizations, don't want to buy products from organizations that don't have a mission, that don't give back, that might not be sustainable, that might not do something for communities. And they're influencing, like, if mom's going out and buying toilet paper, and if they're really green and they're not buying, like, seventh generation toilet paper, it's going to influence how mom is shopping. So it's a very interesting dynamic, and even friend to friend. I mean, peers are stronger than ever, again, driven a lot by social media and things like that. So I would say the influence of the generations, depending on the generation, are really incredible.
So let's talk about your experience just a little bit. You talked to the students today, and it's kind of one of those things where you look back, and if you had a piece of advice, what would that be?
I was telling the students earlier today that, you know, when we start out in our careers after college and we're so motivated and we're so eager and we are like ready to roll, we are, you know, just a bunch of energy, and that's so fantastic. I found for me, the nugget and the wisdom I wished I had back then is that there were two things. I don't need to know everything. And so therefore, shut up and listen. So the ears need to be open all the time. And you don't have to know everything on your own. Leverage the wisdom around you. So I think that that is key.
Yeah. And it is so, it's such good advice. And it's so true that when you, you know, when you look back, there's just this tendency that you don't want to admit that you don't know. And the most important thing that you can do when you're starting out is to admit, I don't know, but I will find out. Okay, I don't know that you've ever listened to an episode of Retail Gets Real. However, I'm not upset about that, because that gives us the opportunity to introduce you to a segment of this called Rapid Fire.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is Rapid Fire, thanks to our sponsor, PwC.
All we're going to do, it's simple, honestly, and it's painless. We're going to ask you some questions and you're going to come with the first thing that comes to mind. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You ready?
No.
Yes, you are.
Okay.
Jen, start us off.
Favorite thing to shop for at Sephora?
Foundation.
Hello. I knew that. So what is the one thing that's always in Allison's refrigerator?
Fat-free milk for my tea.
Very good.
What did you want to be when you grew up as a kid?
Actually, I wanted to be kind of like a rock star, but I didn't have any of that talent.
The rock star color fragrance. Yeah, retail rock star. There's nothing better than that. Ideal vacation.
The beach, sunshine, cocktail. Mm.
Good friends. It's been a long day. Thank you so much, Allison. Yeah.
Good friends.
It's pretty awesome.
What's the last thing you just geeked out over?
Geeked out mm-hmm. over? You don't want to know. Probably, honestly, pictures of my dog, Augie, because I geek out over him all the time.
What kind of dog?
He's a 9-year-old golden retriever.
Oh, nice.
He's my baby.
That's fantastic.
So I geek out about him all the time. It's
okay.
Gross.
If you could have one, no, it's not gross. As a dog owner, I can totally relate. They get shut down very often by the stories that I tell over and over again. But so this one superpower that you wish you had.
It's like the ability to like bring peace.
That's a great superpower.
That is.
We need more people that would like
and
that.
And I mean superpower. Peace, whether it's in a business environment or political, just to do things peacefully.
You know, with that, we're going to close because I think that was absolutely fantastic. You're right. And especially in today's environment.
Totally.
I wish more people desired peace.
Yeah.
So, Allison, if people want to learn more about Sephora, where do they go online?
They should go to Sephora.com.
And if they want to learn more about what you do at Sephora, what do you think that they should be looking at? Should they be looking at merchandising? What is it?
Well, I am a merchant. Merchants pick product. And the most important job of a merchant is to pick product that sells. So that, in the most cut down sense of what a merchant does, that's what a merchant does, is to choose product that the client wants so they buy it. And so it sells. Where does one go?
Is it like...
I don't know.
Is there a magazine that somebody says, well, you know,
no.
I want to be a merchandiser?
No.
You just learn as much as you can. Absorb as much as you can.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that if you want to be a successful merchant, I think one of the most important skills one needs to have is a right brain and a left brain.
Right.
So if you're all art and you only care about product, you're probably not going to be the best merchant. And if you only care about numbers and business and analytics, you're not going to be the best merchant, because the best merchant fuses the eyeballs of what you see as a product with data, history, client information. So it's an amalgamation of the both of them. So I think that's, in my humble opinion, what makes the best merchant. Think about that when you're thinking about your own mind.
Obviously a successful merchant at that. Allison Hahn, thank you so very much
thank
for being
you.
Our guest.
Thanks, Jen. Thanks, Phil.
And Jen, great job, as
thank
always.
You.
And thank you, and thank you all for listening out there to another episode of Retail Gets Real. You can find more information about today's episode and our discussion at the website, retailgetsreal.com. And please send your feedback and episode ideas to podcast@nrf.com. From New York City, student program at The Big Show. Have a great day. Thanks again.